ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे
So in the Padma Purana, there is a profound statement that is very helpful for all of us practicing yoga. And that is that yoga begins with the tongue. Atashri Krishna Amadi Nabhaved Graham Indriye Seva Muhi Hijevado Swayameva Spuratyada. Huh? I don't know. If Felicia, if you can't hear me, then I need it. Okay. And this verse says that we can't perceive Krishna with our blunt material senses. But if we begin to practice yoga with the tongue, then Krishna will reveal himself to us. Confirmed. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about austerities of speech. This is one of the ways in which we can engage the tongue. So the first thing that Krishna says is, when we use our tongue, we should be truthful. And if you tell the truth, then your life becomes easier. If you don't tell the truth, then you're in a sticky situation. Shri Shri Radha Govindaji Ki Jai. Sticky and not sticky. The second thing that Krishna says for the austerity of speech is that our speech should be pleasing. It's like Krishna is known as a pleasing talker. Did you know that Krishna wrestled with a big snake? What is your name? What's your name? What's her name?
Soyuja.
Soyuja?
Soyuja.
Soyuja. Chan, did you know that Krishna wrestled with a big snake? Yes, he did. He wrestled with a big snake named Kaliya. He had many hoods, this snake. It was very dangerous. Poison was coming out of the mouths of Kaliya. It was so poisonous that all the animals were dying in the lake. There was a poison vapor that was floating out from the river. Actually, along the Jamuna River, there's a little lake inside the river. Inside the river, there's a lake. And then that's called the Kaliya Ghat. And this big snake, Kaliya, lived there. And he had poison. So he was killing all the other animals. And the cows When they went to drink there, they would die. And the cowherd boys. So one day Krishna went there. And he brought all the boys and cows back to life. Just by looking at them. And then he jumped into the lake. He got up on top of a kadamba tree on the branch. And before he did, he tightened his belt. And he slapped his arms just like a wrestler. And then he jumped into the lake. And even though he was a little boy, because he's just a little boy, because he's God, he's the source of all the other mountains and all the other universes in the world, so he's very heavy. So it made a huge sound when he jumped into the lake. There were waves coming from the lake. And he began to splash around in the water. And Kaliya heard this sound. And he thought, who's in my lake? And became very angry. And more poison started coming out. And when he saw Krishna swimming around, he grabbed him in his coils. And at that time, there were many bad omens in Vrindavan. And all the residents of Vrindavan thought, something bad has happened to Krishna. So they all began running down to Kaliya Ghat. And that day, Balaram had stayed back. He didn't go with Krishna. It was a special celebration of his birthday. Not his actual birthday, but it was a special movement of the moon. So when Krishna leaves his older brother, Balaram, he gets into big trouble. So Balaram and all the residents of Vrindavan came running down to the lake. And they saw that Kaliya, this huge serpent with many hoods, was holding little Krishna in his clutches. And they began to panic. Some of them wanted to run in and save Krishna. And Balaram held them back. And he was smiling because he knew that Krishna was fine. And everyone was feeling anxiety. And Krishna does this sometimes in order to bring out the feelings of his devotees. And he stayed there in the clutches of Kaliya for many, many hours. And he could see that everyone was in anxiety. He broke out from the clutches of Kaliya and began to dance on his hoods. Kaliya would try to rise up and bite Krishna. But Krishna is such an expert dancer that even though the hoods were moving back and forth, He could expertly jump from one to the next, dancing on. And every time his one of his hoods come up, Krishna would smash it down with his lotus foot. And gradually all the heads of Kaliya were being smashed. It became weaker and weaker. And then he began vomiting all the poison. And he was vomiting blood. And finally he just became completely defeated by Krishna. He was almost dead. And then all the wives of Kaliya came there. And they began to offer prayers to Krishna. And they actually were devotees of Krishna. But Kaliya had become very envious. But his wives could see that he was becoming purified. And all the poison was coming out of it. So they appreciated how fortunate he was. So they thanked Krishna for purifying their husband. And they offered many beautiful prayers that you can read in the Krishna book. And after all this, Krishna asked Kaliya to go elsewhere. But it is said in the Nectar Devotion that he was so polite and his speech was so pleasing to Kaliya. That it charmed everyone's heart. This is his pleasing speech. He has pleasing speech. And the devotees also have, their speech is very pleasing. Because they have the interest of other living entities. They want to do good for others. One devotee joined Prabhupada very early in 1967. His name is Shyamasundar Das. His wife is named Malati. She came here last year. So Shyamasundar, before he became a devotee, he was in the profession of selling drugs. But not legal drugs like pharmaceuticals. There were special drugs, especially LSD. But that's a long story. In any case, it was illegal. So after he had joined Srila Prabhupada, one day he came to Srila Prabhupada. He said, "Srila Prabhupada, I'm very sorry, I have to go away." Prabhupada said, "Where do you have to go?" He said, "Prabhupada, due to some past activity, I have to go to jail." And Prabhupada said, "Jail? Oh, Krishna was born in jail." And then he said, "So what happened? What's the reason you have to go to jail?" And he said, "Prabhupada, I was selling drugs." And Prabhupada said, "Oh, I used to also sell drugs."
Yeah.
Because Prabhupada had a chemical company. And these are very pleasing words. It's just like Krishna. When one's heart is pure, then one's words become very pleasing. But it's an austerity to practice this, to speak pleasingly. Also, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a pleasing talker. He was just a young boy. But he became such a great scholar that he could defeat any of the scholars in Bengal. At least up to that time, he could defeat all the scholars in Navadvipa. And there were a lot of them, because Navadvipa was the place where all people would come to learn all the different kinds of logic and sciences. So one day in Navadvipa, they heard that this big scholar was coming to town. He used to ride on a giant elephant. And he had many followers that came with him wherever he went. And he was called the Digvijay scholar. Digvijay means that he defeated everybody in every direction. And he was very puffed up. He had a benediction from Goddess Saraswati. That whenever he would speak, that Goddess Saraswati would appear on his tongue personally. So whenever he would debate, he could defeat anyone. People could barely even understand what he was saying. What to speak of argue with him. So all the scholars in Navadvipa heard that the Digvijay is coming. So many of them said, I have to go. Someone. And so on the day that the Digvijay came to Navadvipa, Nimai Pandit was sitting with his students on the bank of the Ganges. He was holding an open class. And everyone was sitting and looking at him. Because he was so beautiful. Everyone wanted to just sit there and look at him. He was so beautiful. And also, the knowledge he had was so astounding. People could just listen for hours to the knowledge coming out. So in this way, they were all sitting around Nimai Pandit. And then the Digvijay came on his elephant with all his followers. And there he saw Nimai Pandit. And for the first time ever, he felt fear in his heart. And he inquired, "Who is this?" And some people told him, "This is Nimai Pandit." And when Nimai Pandit saw him, he invited him, "You please come." Very pleasing words. He said, you're such a great scholar. Said, please sit down. And we'd like to hear from you. Please, give us some verses. So the Digby Jai Pandit recited, he composed and then recited 100 verses. Like the blowing wind they came out of it. And Nimai said, this is the most, these are the most wonderful exhibition of learning we've ever seen. He said, so now let's analyze all the good qualities and the faults in your poetry. And the Digvijay said, what do you mean faults? There's no faults in my poetry. And Nimai recited one of the verses. And the Digvijay was surprised. He said, how did you remember the verse? I recited them so quickly. Who could do this? And he said, oh, it's not a big thing. He said, some people like you are empowered to compose poetry. He said, I just happen to have this talent to be able to remember things. And then he began to dissect the verse. And he was showing all the faults in the poetry. And the Digvijay wanted to respond. But he couldn't say anything. He was bewildered. And all of the students, they were about your age, they all started to laugh at the Digvijay. But Nimai was so kind. He said, no, don't laugh. He's a great scholar. And then he told the Digvijay, you come back another day and we'll start over again. And that night, the Digvijay went home. He went to his camp. And he prayed to Goddess Saraswati. Why have you forsaken me? And then he took rest. And in a dream, Goddess Saraswati appeared to him. And she said, actually, today you've met my master. I could not appear on your tongue and speak in front of him. He is the Lord of everybody. And the Digvijay could understand that this was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the main reason he could understand it, because Nimai had been so gentle in his speech. Even though he defeated him, he wouldn't let anybody laugh at him. And in his defeat, he showed him honor. He could have made him feel bad. And the Digvijay noticed this. This is a very rare quality, that because people carry envy in their heart. And when someone's envious, they actually hope that other people will do poorly. Outwardly, they may say, oh, it's too bad. But inwardly, they think, oh, very good, they failed. This is envy. And when someone who has envy in their heart speaks, their speech is mixed with this envy. Krishna says in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that if someone speaks harsh words to another out of envy, he said it's more injurious than a spear that pierces the heart. So one of the austerities of speech is to speak pleasingly. Also, after Indra had tried to kill everybody in Vrindavan, do you know that Krishna saved everyone in Vrindavan? Indra is the god of rain. He became so angry because Krishna convinced all the cowherd men in Vrindavan to not worship Indra and to use all the paraphernalia they had to worship the cows, the Brahmins, and Govardhan Hill. And so they had a big festival. And they worshipped Govardhan. And when Indra found out what had happened, he sent huge storm clouds to Vrindavan. Big rain came down from the sky. And thunderbolts. And chunks of ice. And Krishna, he was just a little boy. And he ran into a cave in Govardhan Hill. And then he picked up the hill on his little finger of his left hand, just like this. And he held that mountain up for 7 days. And he told everyone, you come under this mountain. And everybody, all the cows and all the people, and underneath the hill there were palaces and places to rest. And everyone was completely dry and happy. And they were the most happy they'd ever been because they got to spend 24 hours a day with Krishna. As Krishna was holding the hill, everyone was around him, talking to him. Some of the cowherd boys, they took their sticks and they would hold that under. They said, Krishna, we need to help you. And Krishna's mother was saying, you have to eat. And one of Krishna's friends was making jokes. And Krishna was looking at the gopis. So, for 7 days he held the hill. And Indra was defeated. Indra realized he had made a big mistake. So he went to Brahma. He said, Brahma, I know you also made a mistake once. You stole all of Krishna's cowherd boyfriends and calves. And what should I do? Brahma said, I don't know. Said, all I did was a little trick. He said, you tried to kill everybody. But he suggested that you bring Mother Surabhi with you. So he went to the planet called where all the cows reside. It's a heavenly planet. And he brought Mother Surabhi. Kept her in front. And he offered his prayers of apology to Krishna. He performed an abhishek, a bathing ceremony for So, it's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. How after this incident of Indra trying to kill, Krishna arranged to meet Indra in a private place, solitary place. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says his mood was so sweet. And Krishna's expression to Indra was, I hope I didn't offend you. This is another way in which his speech is so pleasing. This is the mood in the spiritual world. And this is how Krishna speaks to others. Of course, to some demons he says very harsh words. But even they get benefit from hearing them. And the next austerity of speech is your speech should be beneficial. This is one of the ways in which one can tell how advanced a person is. It's called Mukhya Prasadad. It means that when a person whose heart is pure speaks, it's meant for the benefit of others. And finally, Krishna says your speech should be not agitating to others. So one should learn the art of nonviolent speech. There's a way of phrasing your words so you can make your point without harming the other person. So just name for me what the various austerities of speech are. Number one? Truthful. Yes. Number two? Pleasing. Three? Beneficial. Four. Not agitating to others. So if anyone follows these austerities of speech with a desire to please Krishna, and also uses the tongue to chant Hare Krishna, everyone please say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
And also uses the tongue to honor Krishna Prasadam.
Krishna Prasadam.
This is the best kind of yoga. And for someone who practices this yoga, Krishna will reveal himself. Om Tat Sat. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Vancha kalpadurusha kripasnaveva cha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha gopremanande nitai gaura haribo 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 nitai gaura haribo nitai gaura haribo 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 nitai gaura haribo.
Marman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, hey, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman.